الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض أعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر فاستبقوا الخيرات وفي شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. We abundantly praise, glorify and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We solely submit and surrender to Him, and we testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah Azza wa Jal. And we send peace and blessings and salutations upon the noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final prophet and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent unto all of humanity to guide them back onto the path into the gardens of paradise. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all on this noble and sacred day of Jumu'ah. And what a glorious day, what a beautiful day, alhamdulillah. We are fortunate that we are sat here in the sacred and noble sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed day of Jumu'ah, in this blessed month of Ramadan, a month of barakah, a month of khair, a month of rahmah, a month of maghfirah, a month of so much given to us as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the ummah of the messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. Insha'Allah al-Aziz, today we will continue with our previous Jumu'ah discussion in which we touched upon how will you be remembered. How do you remember all of the Ramadans that have passed by in your life? But more importantly, how will Ramadan remember you? And how would we react and behave if it was written on our foreheads or perhaps on our tombstones, on our gravestones, on how Ramadan saw us and how we were perceived by the month of Ramadan? We discussed very briefly on Jumu'ah previously that the definition of insanity, especially by Albert Einstein, was that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So we as Muslims should not just do things for the sake of doing things, just go through the motions for the sake of going through motions because it is routine. Praying salah becomes routine, so we just do it for the sake of doing it. And similarly, when the month of Ramadan comes, we should not just let it come. Oh, it is another month of 29 and 30 days where we fast, where we do not eat anything or drink anything, and that's it, become this repetition within our life. No, it has to be more meaningful. It has to have purpose in our lives. It has to transform our heart and our soul. Our mindset has to change, and we have to truly appreciate this great gift given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, we must not allow this month of Ramadan and the 720 hours or so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to just fall into that old routine of repetition and those hollow, arbitrary actions that we do repeatedly. It must become so much more than what we actually do. And we have to differentiate ourselves between robots, between animals, between us who we are, human beings who have been given this great potential and opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we discussed on Jumu'ah previously, that we don't know whether our fast, our siyam, whether our zakat, our charity, the alms, or our salah or hajj, any of these things are truly accepted. We pray to the best of our physical our emotional, mental, and spiritual ability, and we follow all of the parameters and the guidelines of the Sharia and the Sunnah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and we hope that Allah Azza wa Jal, with His infinite mercy, will accept our deeds and overlook our shortcomings and our failings. But imagine if this wasn't the case. Imagine that when you did something like your salah or your zakah or anything else, it was immediately written on your forehead, or above your head there was a sign, a red sign or a green sign, whether this act that you have just done has been accepted or rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our behavior then would instantly change, because we know, wait a minute, I have to go back and do this again. Just the way the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam once told a person who was praying in the masjid, irji', go back and return, salli again, pray again, because you have not truly prayed. He was just going through the motions. So imagine if we were shown this instantly, live updates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this salah that you did today, no, it's rejected. This fast that you kept today, no, it's rejected. How would we feel? What type of kayfiyah would we be in? And imagine then, when we all pass away and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all have our gravestones, as we discussed previously. Our gravestone is written our name, or our titles, beloved father, mother, etc., and our date of birth to the time that we passed away, and perhaps a nice inscription, an epitaph in remembrance of who we are. And we talked about some of the inscriptions that may be found perhaps on our graves, on our gravestones, and now is the opportunity for us to really change that before it is too late. Imagine our gravestone said, "Here lies someone who did not fast with his heart." Because remember, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need for our meat or for our sacrifices. لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَا كِيَّنَا لَهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah is actually looking for our taqwa, our connection, our sincerity, our devotion in our worship to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It doesn't benefit or harm Allah Azza wa Jalla in any way or manner whatsoever, whether we eat or drink or not. No, this is for our betterment. But imagine on your gravestone it says, this is somebody who never fasted with his heart, he just fasted outwardly. Because the point of fasting is to purify your heart and your soul, which is the center. To make sure that is sound, and if your heart is sound and your soul is sound, it will enable your body and your life to be sound as well. Remember that hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that within the body there is a piece of flesh. If that is sound, then the entire body is sound. But if that is corrupt, then the entire body will also subsequently be corrupt. Imagine on your gravestone, it's written, here lies someone who did not fast with his senses. We have been given limbs by Allah Azza wa Jalla. We have been given seven senses by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of hearing, of sight, of touch, of feeling, and all of these things. But if we are not controlling our gaze during our Ramadan, we're not controlling our ears and what we listen to during the month of Ramadan, if we're not controlling our whims and our desires and our illicit and illegal thoughts, then what is the point of fasting? The Prophet ﷺ very clearly mentions in various ahadith that those people who continue to do all of these evil things inwardly, then Allah has no need for their fast. They just receive hunger and starvation and thirst. They haven't actually achieved anything substantial. Imagine on your gravestone it is written, here lies someone who did not fast with his character. That in the month of Ramadan you are supposed to be in control of your behavior and who you are. But if your ghurur is still there, if your takabbur is still there, if your fahsha is still there, if your anger, your frustration, your animosity, your backbiting, your ghiba, your slander, all of these things are there and you are constantly bickering and doing all of these things, then what is the point of your fast? You haven't actually achieved the perspective of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. So Ramadan should be changing your heart. It should be changing your limbs and your senses. It should be transforming your character and bringing you in line with the character of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine on your gravestone it says, here lies someone who did not actually fast truly in their prayers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those are the true people of success. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Imagine, it's written there for us. We have come in the month of Ramadan to pray, we do. We also pray the tahajjud, to the best of our ability. We pray our qiyamul layl, we try to do extra nawafil. But imagine it's written there that none of these things were actually accepted because you didn't pray wholeheartedly, you didn't submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here lies the person who in the month of Ramadan did not keep away, did not fast from bad companionship. Companionship of whether it is a phone or a tablet, or whether it is a bad individual, or the people that you meet, or the connections and the relationships that you have. If Ramadan, if fasting, if siyam, if the month of Ramadan doesn't keep you away from bad company, then what is the point of you fasting? So all of these things should be changing us, the company that we keep. You don't need to be spending time in the pub or the clubs or with those people who have dubious nature. You should be spending time in the best of places, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst the best of people. Kuntum khayra ummatin, the best nation sent forth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst those people who are reciting the Quran, the best of kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering the best individual ever created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and following in his footsteps, being his true companion, none other than the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Imagine if it's written on your gravestone, here lies one who did not fast for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. We fasted because we were forced by our parents, because of riya, because of showing off, or just, you know, deceiving other people, or because of the pressure of society and the community. We did it because we had to do it. We didn't do it for the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. We didn't do it for the devotion and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine if these updates came over your head, and imagine if these things are written on your gravestones, how would you feel? How would your family feel that you had 25, 50, 60 Ramadans in your entire life, but your character remained unchanged, your heart remained unchanged, your senses were not transformed, your prayers did not change, your suhbah and the companionship did not change, and you didn't become from those people, kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. You didn't do any of those things, and you didn't do it truly for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Where will you be on that particular day? So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reminds us, ataakum, that this is a blessed month that has come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A blessed month full of barakah, full of khair, full of so many rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed there for us to seek out those rewards, to reap the benefit of those rewards, for us to plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that the gates of heaven are flung wide open, an open invitation to you given by the gardens of paradise, that come, we are waiting for your arrival. What do you have to do? Become a person of taqwa. Become a person who truly fasts with his heart and his soul. Become a person who has good companionship. Become a person who recites the Quran. Become a person who changes his character, because there's nothing heavier on the scales on the day of Qiyamah than good character, as mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. There's nothing better than you truly entirely devoting your life for the love and for the sake and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those gates of heaven are awaiting your arrival. The gates of hellfire are firmly closed. The shayateen are chained up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, but within the sacred month is a night which is better than 1,000 months, which is 83 years for you, given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lifetime worth of worship. Majority of us will live to 60, 70, perhaps 80 if you're lucky. But imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you this bonus. There you go. For one night of worship, or perhaps even for one sincere tear that you shed in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the awe or fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps for that one tear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you those 83 years of accepted worship. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at the end mentions that thus whoever is deprived of the goodness, of the khair, of the barakah in the month of Ramadan is truly deprived. You have no better opportunity in your entire life except for in the month of Ramadan, where one deed is minimum rewarded by 70, up to 700, where you can get up to 83 years of worship. Your sadaqat, your khairat, your ibadah, you do one fard and you get the reward of 70 fara'id. You do one nafl and you get the reward of one fard. Imagine all of this given to you literally on a silver platter, and in spite of that, you are not able to enter into the gardens of paradise. You're not able to attain the keys for the gardens of paradise. And who is the greatest loser, the biggest loser, if you are unable to maximize this beautiful, sacred and blessed month of Ramadan? So I really want us all to think about this month and what it means to you, us as individuals, as a nation, as a community, as an ummah, and how we need to transform ourselves and how we need to really seize these opportunities given to us by Allah Azza wa Jal. So this month of Ramadan is no ordinary month. It's not just merely fasting or going through the motions, but more importantly, it gives us a very important reminder that this month is the beginning of Islam, the beginning of who we are and our identity. It is the month of the Quran, yes, but it also marks the beginning of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would walk from Makkah al-Mukarramah all the way to Jabal al-Nur, which is 12 to 13 kilometers, and then he would ascend to the top of Jabal al-Nur, which is over 2,000 feet. He would walk all the way up there in the middle of the night, and he would stay there during the entire night, reflecting, pondering and thinking, and trying to find a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his own way. And in this particular night, in this particular month, which is the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, sent Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salam, and this marked the beginning of our religion of Islam, and the beginning of the journey of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. So this month for every single one of us should also make us have a meaningful connection back to our religion, and we should renew our iman, and we should renew our resolve and our conviction, and make sure that our journey from this point onwards is a journey that only takes us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, back to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and not the journey that we have been traversing through the entire year. No, this month is to realign our heart and our soul and our body and go back onto that journey, away from the diversion that we've been going on for the entire year, and back onto that journey and the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember the very few verses of the Quran that will reveal first. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. To read, but in whose name? Not for the read for the sake of certificates and degrees and for wealth and for fame and for power, but no, read and to seek knowledge in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created man and all of humanity from a clean substance. Recite in the name of our Lord, who is the most generous, who taught us by the pen and taught us everything that we did not know. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can only have a more meaningful Ramadan if we turn to the Quran, if we turn to the Sunnah, if we turn to knowledge and understand what Ramadan means, understand how to better ourselves in the tilawah of the Quran, in the fahm of the Quran, in the tadabbur of the Quran, in the translation of the Quran, in following the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Knowledge will illuminate your hearts and your mind and your soul. Knowledge is the thing that will guide you towards all that which is good and transform you from a normal person to an extraordinary person. That knowledge will enable you to soar higher than even the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to connect ourselves back to that primary source of knowledge of ilm, but ilm nafi', not just ilm of the dunya and ilm which gives us money and wealth, but ilm which is truly transformative, the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ilm of our deen, the ilm of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So this month is no ordinary month. It is a month of you searching for who you are and the purpose that you have in this dunya and the journey that you should be on. It is a month of reflection and turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. It is a month of undoubtedly all complete knowledge that returns us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of the Quran, not just its recitation, but its understanding and its propagation as well. The month of talking intimately to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our qiyam, in our ruku, in our sujood. The month of abundant rewards and for us to go and gather and collect all of those rewards of khair, of hidayah, of barakah, of rahmah, of maghfirah, of itkum minan nar, the month of love and mahabbah. We're doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of great discipline, disciplining your soul and your nafs and your whims and your desires, a month of community where you are sharing and doing it together. How easy it is for all of us here today to fast in the month of Ramadan. Everybody would be able to say, yes, it is pretty easy because we're doing it as a family, as a community, as an ummah. But those six fasts that we have in the month of Shawwal, how difficult is it? It's because we're all scattered. Somebody do it at the beginning, in the middle, or the end. We don't know whether you're doing it today or tomorrow. And it's those six fasts of Shawwal are far harder than the 30 fasts of the month of Ramadan. Why? Because we have this brotherhood and sisterhood, this community, this unity in the month of Ramadan. It is a month of charity, of choice. You have to decide whether you are willing to change, whether you want to change your life, whether you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the month of competing, as I mentioned, فَاسْتَبِكُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, competing for the khayrat coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Ramadan actually mean in the Arabic language? It means something, when you put something under intense pressure and intense heat to transform itself. This is what one of the meanings, original meanings of Ramadan means, to change something from its ordinary state to something which is extraordinary. How do you get diamonds? It's just carbon, it's just dust. But when you put that carbon and that dust under 1,400 Celsius, under 825,000 square inch pressure, then that dust and that carbon changes into something beautiful, which is a diamond. When you take that iron ore and you smelt it and you put it in, under intense pressure and heat, and then you find something beautiful like gold and it shines. When you want to have a physique, you have to go through all of the difficulties of a gym in order for you to transform yourself. So why is it that you assume that you can come in the month of Ramadan and just fly by and everything will be easy and you'll be transformed? Your heart and your soul and your mind, everything will be transformed, when truly you haven't put yourself under the pressure of the month of Ramadan. You haven't put yourself under the intense heat of the month of Ramadan. If you did, then you would transform like the Sahaba Ikram, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, like Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, like Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, like Sayyidina Ali, like the Sahaba Ikram. This is how you would transform. But we like to take the easy way, put ourselves on cruise control and just fly through the month of Ramadan and just go through the motions. But we don't truly minimize our food intake. If you're supposed to have 2,500 calories, normally in a normal day outside the month of Ramadan, in Ramadan we increase that to 5,000. I need to bulk up, I don't know how I'm going to get through the day. But no, you're supposed to reduce that so you feel the intense heat and the pressure, so you strive harder in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you can transform yourself inwardly. We need to push ourselves, but we'd like to take it on the easy side. If it's too hard, we'll keep it in. But those people who truly strive in the way of Allah azza wa jal, they search for these things. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who truly strive in the way of Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them this great ability to achieve so much in life. So we see every year that almost 2 billion Muslims throughout the world, over 50 Islamic countries, and many of us weren't reciting the Quran for most of the year. We dust off the Quran, we start reading the Quran profusely during the days and nights of Ramadan. We see these same people who never used to pray any nawafil and just about, you know, made it to their fara'id, but now they are praying all of their fara'id and they're praying their qiyamul layl in the month of Ramadan. That those believers who neglected the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are now making this dua, sincere dua, then passionate dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who perhaps never fasted every Monday or Thursday, or on the 13th, 14th, or 15th of every month, or throughout the other days throughout the year, these people now are fasting consecutively 29 and 30 days in the month of Ramadan. This phenomena of Ramadan, it shows us that all that power, the power of transformation and change, is always within us. Nothing has changed. The season is the same. The world is the same. Everything else is the same. But our mindset, when our heart and our soul connects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we get these extraordinary power and this ability to achieve so much. And it shows us that change is possible. And if we can change in the month of Ramadan, then surely we can continue to change and transform ourselves for the betterment and move just from Islam and increase our iman and become in the state of ihsan and get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to remind ourselves that the same Lord that we are worshipping, we are praying, and we are fasting fasting for and doing qiyamul layl and doing so much, who is the same Lord outside the month of Ramadan. He is the same Lord of all of time. He is the same Lord of all of the universes. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to truly fast with our heart and our soul in the month of Ramadan. Enable us all to seek all of His blessings and khair. Wa qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Can you just